Welcome to the National Bicycle Greenways, September 16th edition of the Mountain Movers podcast series, where you will get up close and personal with people who are taking giant steps for the betterment of cyclists and for the planet itself. Here today we have with us NBG giant Andrew Morton, who it has been my pleasure to watch use cycling to grow into a solid man with both feet on the ground. Andrew, what year did you first become aware of the National Bicycle Greenway?
I think so. I think it was 99. I was looking for information on recumbent bikes and came across your website and got in, started reading the stuff about the stuff you had in the guide about riding cross country, and it really hooked me. And then I think from there, you were having an NBG fest or something in Santa Cruz, and I sort of got the idea in my head that I'd like to ride there. So I took the train to Sacramento, got the bike out of the box, and had never done any bike touring before, and just sort of figured it out as I went. I did a little bit of backpacking before that, and so a lot of it seemed kind of similar. And I had the time of my life. I mean, I rode down to Santa Cruz, and I got to be there. Got to meet you, and got to be there for the fundraiser thing that you were putting on, and then got to ride home, and it was just, you know, haven't looked back since.
So you rode home. Did you ride back to Sacramento?
I rode back through Sacramento, and then stayed at the hostel, and then went out across the Sierras back to Reno.
On a train? Is the first time?
No, I rode all the way home.
Oh, you did? Wow.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I didn't have the reason I took the train to Sacramento was I didn't have time to do it and get to the event. So I was kind of short on time, so I figured I'd take the train, and that way I could get there in time, and then I could sort of dilly dally on the way home and figure out a route across the mountains.
Okay, so you're a computer programmer, an engineer of sorts. What kind of work were you doing at the time when you became aware of the NBG?
I think I was actually, I was working at a place that did computer training, and I mean, now I've gone back to school, but I'd gotten done with high school and got a job there, and so it was, you know, it was a full-time job, but I was able to kind of take some time off in the summer to go to do a little bit of riding.
So you were doing some pretty high-level stuff, were you not?
It was actually pretty. I mean, it was pretty basic. It was a great experience because they did computer training. I got to take the classes for free and that sort of thing. I learned quite a bit, but it was really pretty basic stuff. I mean, just, you know, when you're running a class, you've got to have each classroom's got to be set up with the software they're going to be teaching. So it was just making sure all the computers are set up correctly and that sort of thing.
Okay, so you're now a computer major up there in Portland?
Yeah, going to Portland State University and doing computer science. Got a couple more years to go, but it's been good. I mean, it filled in a lot of gaps. I mean, I don't think I would have been well served by going to school right out of or going to college right out of high school, but it's good now. I definitely appreciate it a lot more.
Okay, and so in the interim, you not only rode to Santa Cruz, but you also rode across the United States before you started.
Yeah, I did a few trips. While I was still living in Reno, I took a ride from Reno to Salt Lake City, and sort of turned that into a little bit of a scouting mission for the NBG. I don't know if anything came of it, but. It was about, eventually, Adventure Cycling put together, I mean, they put together one of their maps, and they did pretty much the same route that I'd done, so that was kind of a nice, well, not like there's a lot of choices. I mean, you know, you're out west, there's, you know, you sort of ride the roads that are there.
Yeah, US and, 50. US 50, right?
Yeah, US 50. It was a real, I mean, it was just a wonderful experience, because there's so few people out there. I mean, you do have to kind of have your ducks in a row, and I mean, I think I was carrying probably 6 liters of water or something like that, just and ended up almost running out a couple of times. And it's, you know, it just really kind of makes you appreciate appreciate the conveniences of modern life, you know, when you can just turn on the tap and have the water to, you know, take a bath or whatever. I mean, you really do appreciate it. And it was just such a beautiful, I mean, the desert's just amazing. I mean, you get these gorgeous sunsets and it's just so open. I mean, you can see for miles. I really do enjoy getting to tour the desert.
And when you rode down from Portland to San Francisco as part of the Mara's ride, what was that, 2002?
I think so. Because yeah, I did my Trans Am in 2001. I'd wanted to try to do the first Mara's that you did cross country, but I was still working at the time, and it was just not something I was going to be able to get off. But I managed to get set up to do it in 2001, uh-huh. And then in 2002, after Andrew Heckman had been hit, it seemed like the ride was a bit in jeopardy, and so I ended up stepping up to do the Portland Eugene Napa or Sacramento Napa. I mean, it was just way too many cities, but so it's the West Coast leg.
Yeah. It's so funny because there's that picture of you in Oakland, at this big old huge celebration, and you were our only rider.
Yeah.
and you handled it with class and polish. It was wonderful. I want to talk a little bit about your computer skills as they relate to the NBG. You've done some pretty great stuff with the, NationalBicycleGreenway.com You set the blog up for us and the photo gallery. Was that difficult for you to do, or
no? It's a really good time to be doing stuff on the internet because there's a lot of open source packages that you can get that are totally free that do really cool stuff. The gallery was the photo gallery, you know, and the blog was movable typing gallery, and they're two real popular applications. It's really just, I mean, I think if I recall, the hardest part was getting you moved to an ISP that would actually, you know, let you set stuff up.
Right.
But I mean, you put together a pretty good team to do the National Bicycle Greenway website. I know Jody had done a lot. I'm forgetting. There were quite a few people. I mean, I was just a small part of that.
There was Jim Redd, and there was you, and there was Don Fong. And as you mentioned, Jody. So yeah, how many websites do you host?
I've got a few for friends. I've got like a personal website, Drewish.com, and then I've got some friends on Catherine House, which I lived in a house on Catherine Street, and that's, you know, since no longer live there, but the domain name, you know, is kind of nice. So
and do you
that,
also?
And then I've got.
Do you also host Gravel Tech? Is that also one of yours?
Yeah, Gravel Tech is like a sort of a joke publisher for some zines that a friend of mine and I do. We do BUI, which is Bike Culture Under the Influence, biking and drinking zine, and then the other one is the One Speed Revolution, which is single speed and fixed gear zine. The funny part is that I didn't even ride a fixed gear or a single speed when I started helping my buddy on that, so kind of grew into it.
And you're a fixed,
then we do.
You're a fixed guy now, right?
Yeah. I got a bike that bike that you've given me. Got that set up as a fixed gear, and it's been a lot of fun. Got me up in Portland. We're very fortunate to have one of. I think there's only 30. Something like 30 velodromes in the U.S., and we've got one that's open to the public. It's outdoors. You just pretty much walk up, and you know, if you got a bike, you can hop on, and Oregon Bicycle Racing Association. They're real good about. They do clinics during the track season. They do a lot of races, so it's been good. I've finally gotten to get out on the track, and you know, here in its natural habitat, you know.
Okay, what I need to underscore for our listenership out there is the fact that Andrew, when he rode across the U.S. In 2001, is that 2001? Was that your
2001? Yeah.
Okay, at the end of the ride, you lost your palm.
Yeah,
that just is so heartbreaking. How much did?
Well, I guess it probably would be helpful to explain that as we were going, I had a little Palm computer that I was taking notes on, and then Pocket Mailer at the time was sponsoring the MBG, and so we were using their service to email off the updates and just sort of internal. But I had gotten kind of behind and had probably 2 or 3 weeks of just half-finished updates that I hadn't gotten around to sending out that I was going to kind of write up on the way home. And the last day, at some point, the Palm fell out of the saddlebag. I had it kind of in an outer pocket, and we 3 or 4 hours riding back and forth, kind of undoing the progress that we'd done, just looking at home.
You not only lost 2-3 weeks, you lost all your phone numbers, all your connections. That's just heartbreaking.
Well, yeah. Everything that I hadn't backed up on the trip. I mean, you know, all the stuff from before I still had on my computer.
Okay,
but yeah, the people that we'd met, you know, like we were going to send a postcard when we got home. There were some people we'd stayed with in Iowa that, you know, had just gone way out of their way to help us out. Yeah, that was rough.
So you lost from Iowa on then, from Iowa to D.C.
Oh, I mean, pretty much, you know, I backed it up when I left, you know, so everything that had gotten on there that I hadn't emailed off, you know, got lost. So, I mean, from the start on,
jeez.
Essentially.
My heart just goes out to you when I think of that. It just really...
Time definitely helps that. I mean,
wow.
At this point, it's kind of like, oh, well, but at the time, I was really bummed.
So when I met you, or when you connected with the NBG, were you car-free at the time?
I was. Subsequently, you know, that's changed. Those that 90% of my transportation is by bike, but yeah, once in a while, I mean, like I'll go down to Reno. I'm actually driving down there now. Irony of ironies, and you know, so it's nice to get around, but man. $3 a gallon just makes it easy to get on the bike.
Phenomenal. That's incredible. And for those of you who don't know, Andrew lives in Portland now. And Portland is a... we're still waiting a word from the Portland powers that be, bicycle powers that be, on that infrastructure content. But it's a bicycle heaven, is it not?
I'm sorry? I couldn't quite catch that.
Okay, Portland is a bicycle heaven. Is that correct?
Would you say it's great.
Yeah,
it's one of the best cities I've been in.
Can you tell people why?
Well, in terms of, I think it all goes back to at some point. I don't remember what year it passed the law that 1 cent of every dollar for roads has to be put towards bike infrastructure. So they've just, I mean, even a lot of the small towns have bike lanes, and it's a bit strange when you first show up. There's a bunch of cities that, you know, are kind of known for their bike culture, I guess. You've got Eugene and Corvallis, as well as Portland, that just have really well-done infrastructure in terms of cycling, and this, in Portland especially, the city really goes out of their way to support it. They provide bike lockers. You're allowed to take your bike on all the transit. I mean, I think all the buses have bike racks. The light rail, you know, you're allowed to take your bike on. And then they've done a really good job of just providing the lanes, and, you know, I mean, there's always more that can be done, but The city government is very progressive on trying to encourage businesses to, you know, let their employees and their customers get their bike.
How about the rain?
You know, I think everyone really just sort of sucks it up, and you put fenders on, you put fenders on your bike, and you get a good burly. Burley is in, I think they're in Eugene, and, you know, when you ride every day in rain gear, you're going to make good rain gear, so, you know, it's a diesel, you want to ride in the rain. I look at Chicago, and I'm like, God, who wants to ride in the snow, you know, with your studded snow tires and your parka? I mean, I think everyone just kind of adapts to what you have to deal with. I mean, who'd want to ride in L.A. with, you know, or Houston with 100-degree heat? I think every area's got their pros and cons, and the summers are just glorious, and the winters you just kind of, you know, you keep riding.
You get rain in the summer too, do you not?
Not much. I mean, it started raining this week, and it's really been, it's been a couple of months since we've had any rain.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, any long rides in your future, or do you still see that as where you want to rock and roll with two wheels?
Well, I definitely want to get. I went on a trip to Australia for 3 weeks this summer, and I want to go back there, but I don't want to go without a bike. It's just I'd really like to, after doing the States, I'd really like to get to ride across Australia. I mean, it's literally the same size. I mean, if you throw out Alaska, it's the same size as the continental U.S. And I'd really like to do that. I'm gonna try to get the other one. I kind of want to do is across Canada, but the hard part now is just getting the money to get working. You know, I had a pretty decent income, kind of put some away, and then quit a job. But doing the school thing, it's a little harder to finance it.
Hmm. So what do you foresee for 2007? Is that still possibly on your radar, riding with us?
It would be fun to do. I have the worst time planning 2 weeks from now. I'd like to do that, but I have no idea what I'm going to be doing, if I'm going to even be graduated by that point. It sounds like it would be a real good time.
So, of all the states you've traveled across, and I get this is a question that is always asked of me when I tell people I've trans-ammed the United States twice. All the riding you've done, Andrew, what is your favorite state, favorite riding trip?
Nebraska. I just, hands down, well, and a close second to West Virginia, in spite of the coal trucks, it's the people were just the nicest I met. But Nebraska, 10-foot shoulders, and, I mean, there was a park in every town and a swimming pool in every, you know, in every park. And, you know, out west, you got to go to an RV park to get a shower. And in the west, you just pull into town, lock your bike to the chain fence or just, you know, chain link fence, lean it up against the fence, whatever. Throw down your $2, you get a shower, and then you get to go swim, and then you pretty much just camp in the park. And I mean, it was just, you know, it's flat. You made pretty good time, and I guess that while we were there in 2001, they were finishing up, I think they were calling it the Cowboy Trail or something like that, and it was this old rails trail,
right?
And it was going to be the longest, when it was completed, it was going to be the longest rails trail in the U.S. It was 400-some miles, and it took you across most of the state. So
wow.
I at the time, I really wanted to come back and do that again.
So what towns do you remember from Nebraska? Did you do Cody?
We went across the north, so I remember Valentine.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. It's one of those that the details have started to fade.
But Nebraska, the northern, so you didn't ride 30, you went across the northern part of Nebraska.
No, we did Highway 20 all the way from Bend, Oregon to pretty much Iowa, and Iowa would be easily categorized as the worst state I've ever ridden in.
I can agree with that.
I really disliked Iowa, and
I agree.
We went from 10-foot shoulders to like, oh, here's a white line, and here's some gravel, and you can find another road. And once we figured out that you've got to get three rows over on the farm road.
Yeah, and up,
it started looking up, but
and up and down, hilly.
Yeah.
Wow. So the your most favorite state was Nebraska, and right next to it was your most miserable state, being Iowa. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, it was really because of the abrupt transition.
Right.
You know, you get into Iowa City, and you get out on, you come in on 20, and it's a 10-foot shoulder, and just, you know, beautiful road, and then you leave, and it's, you know, there's literally no shoulder. And, it was just such an abrupt transition. Had Iowa been, you know, a state over, it probably wouldn't have been as bad, but just,
I don't know, correct me if I'm...
In comparison to Nebraska.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember there being any pools I was able to use in Iowa either. The pools disappear, too.
I think it is, you know, I mean, it's probably just a function of being a small town. You know, the smaller towns have, maybe it's just easier to find, I don't know. But I do kind of remember once we got off, you know, off point, back onto the kind of the back roads, that it was, that there were quite a few of the pools. But I just remember Nebraska being, like, perfect.
But in Iowa, you did find pools then, huh?
I think so.
Yeah? Huh. Interesting.
I think so.
Because you hear about the Ragbri, the great bike ride across Iowa.
Oh, and you know, that's probably the other reason I was pretty upset about Iowa, was we were there a week ahead, so everyone was driving their buses in, and, like, they'd see us on the side of the road, and it was just honk, 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 and then, I mean, you get kind of burned out on it, you know? It's like, all right, we see you, hi, go away. And it probably was just bad luck, I mean, more than anything, like, or just bad timing, but I probably give Iowa a little too much crap.
Yeah. Huh. Well, you know, it's funny. I've never really, looking back to my experience of riding across Iowa, I really had to work to find worthy riding turf as well. There's not much in the way of, there's not really much in the way of shoulders there. And all the little towns close to each other means there's tons of soccer moms racing back and forth from city to city. And it's tough. It's tough stuff.
Yeah, a lot of veteran communities there. I mean, that was sort of the thing that really kind of weirded me out. You know, coming from out west, you really had big open areas between towns, and the farther you got east, I mean, there's just no room between towns. You kind of go from one town to another, and I think, like, Indiana and Iowa, it started to really kind of change to where you would, you know, you'd never really get out of town. It got a lot harder. I mean, we wouldn't really camp in campgrounds. Or when we didn't really do the hotels or motels, I think we did two on the entire trip. But we would just sort of, like, stealth camp, you know, if it was in a park, you know, we camp in a park, or if, you know, just find the corner of somebody's field that wasn't fenced in, or, you know, good old government land. I mean, we'd just camp wherever. And,
okay, who'd you do that ride
with?
I
got a lot harder to go east.
Who'd you do the ride again with? Who's
I did it with my friend Brad.
Okay, all right. Is he still riding?
And you know, he does. I call him car free, but that's just because he's got a girlfriend. You know, he always has a girlfriend to drive him around. So, but yeah, he rides. I mean, everywhere in town.
Wow.
And he's living down in Reno.
Excellent. Well, listen, Randy, we're probably wrapping up. Got to get to a place in time, an point in time, where we've got to call an end to this wonderful time we've been able to get to spend with you, a true giant here in matters NBG. Anything you'd like to add?
No, I mean, I just, you know, I appreciate all the work that you're doing, and, you know, I'm always happy to help out with you know, whatever I can do.
All right. Well, Andrew, I just want to say thanks and thank you for everyone. I'm sure everyone out there is just getting a better chance to get a little bit closer up and personal with you. And just say thanks for your time. And truly, truly, just major thanks for all that you've done for us and continue to do for us.
Well, you're welcome. And like I said, you know, I definitely appreciate all the hard work you're doing. And you know, so thank you.
All right, Andrew. Thanks. For more information about Andrew Morton, see his web at drewish.com. That's drewish.com. That wraps up another edition of the National Bicycle Greenway Mountain Movers interview series. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG Director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. For more information about the NBG, go to bikeroute.com.